Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Following the introduction by Dr. Bob Wood, we'll hear a message by the late founder of BJU, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., originally preached April 20, 1956. The title of his message is Discerning God's Will for Your Life. The text is from Genesis 3, verse 6.
The founder of this institution was born more than 120 years ago. He was known as a very powerful and practical preacher. About 40 years ago, I had the opportunity to listen to him preach every morning on the radio. I lived in Atlanta and drove almost an hour to work every day, and the university owned a radio station in Atlanta, and early each morning they would play one of Dr. Bob Sr.'s messages. The Lord used these messages in my heart to help me mature as a Christian, and in a very unusual way tied my heart to this institution before I ever came here or ever saw the institution. It would be good if you had an opportunity to hear the founder preach, and we've arranged for that to happen this morning. As the scripture tells us, being dead, he yet speaketh. We're going to hear a message called Discerning God's Will for Your Life. I'd like for you to listen carefully to this. Dr. Bob mentions the fact that many times in our life when we face a critical decision, the forces of Satan do all they can to divert us from God's will. I think this is very interesting because I've been preaching the last two semesters on the will of God for our lives. And I think hearing a message from the founder of this institution will thrill your hearts. I know sometimes without someone standing in this pulpit, it's difficult for you to focus your attention on the words you're hearing. But would you this morning really concentrate on this message and allow the Lord to speak to you through the words of the founder? This sermon was originally preached on April 20th, 1956. You'll find this text in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. At the end of the message, Dr. Bob will pray, and after that prayer, you're dismissed.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. That's the sixth verse of the third chapter of Genesis. You know, young people, we are in such a bad fix in this country spiritually. Until if you don't get established on a few fundamentals, you're going to get in trouble. But I want you young people, when you walk off this campus at the end of this year, to go away from here understanding some things. There are just two great dominant personalities in this world. One's the devil, one's God. Next to God, the devil is the greatest personality that ever existed in the universe. And he's just as much of a person as God's a person. A person, as I've said before, is a self-conscious being with a free will. God's a person, devil's a person. God's a creator, the devil's a creature. But when God Almighty made the devil, he created the greatest creature he ever made. He's a personality. He's just as much of a person as you are. He's an actual, living, dominant, mighty personality. He's the most audacious creature that God Almighty ever made. No angel that God ever created was as irresistible in his own personality as the devil. Now, there's another personality, and that's God. And in this dispensation, it's the Holy Ghost. God inhabits eternity. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. Jesus Christ is up in heaven. He's not in this world. Oh, yes, our Holy Spirit's the other self. I know. But Jesus Christ, while I'm standing here today talking, is up yonder in heaven at the Father's right hand, a literal bodily person in heaven. The Holy Ghost is down in this world. Jesus went away so the Holy Ghost could come. He said it was expedient that he go away so the Holy Ghost could come. Now, when the Holy Ghost came down on the day of Pentecost, he came as a person. There were manifestations of that person, but he's a person, just as much as you, just as much as the devil is. Now, of course, when we think of a person, we think of a human being naturally, because that's our idea of a person. I remember when I was a little boy in the country and used to talk about a personal God, I'd think of God like I'd think of my father. He is a father and all that, but it's hard for our mind to grasp that. But the Bible tells us that, and we'd have to have the Bible tell us that in order for us to know it. All right. Now, this world is a stage of operation for two great personalities. One omnipotent, the other isn't. One omnipresent, the other's not omnipresent. The devil can't be in New York in person at the same time be in Tokyo in person. He's not omnipresent. Holy Ghost can be in Tokyo, in London, Paris, and any other spot in the world. He's God, the omnipresent God. The devil's not all wise. He doesn't know everything. God's all wise. But the devil, as far as this earth is concerned, is practically omnipresent. He's got a representative everywhere in this country. It's my opinion from reading the Bible, especially the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, where you read of the prince of Persia and the prince of such that the devil reigns over this earth through these great, awful, unseen representative, fallen angels like himself. He is Beelzebub. He's the prince of all of them. He's the head of all of them. But don't you ever get an idea he hasn't organized his forces for this world. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers in the heavens. As I'm up here talking this morning, this atmosphere, right here now, they're demons, unseen personalities, representatives of the empire of the devil.
Now, wait a minute. God is all-powerful. The devil isn't.
But in some sense, the devil has some advantage as far as this world's concerned. God has to make you a new creation to save. The devil can use you like you are.
He doesn't have to make you. God's got to make you a new creation before you can even call him Father. Devil can take you just like you are.
You're going out in the most dangerous age that young people ever lived in.
They're talking about a worldwide revival, a worldwide this, a worldwide that, and big this and big that.
We have a great increase in church membership, a great increase in juvenile criminals, and a great increase in broken homes all the same time. It's come where church membership means practically nothing to many people but a form of godliness denying the power thereof.
God has to make folks over before he can do anything with them.
You have to be born again. Had become a new creation. But the devil took over the Garden of Eden and the first man and the first woman and made them to suit himself. And he did it belying. He's called the father of all lies. And man is naturally more prone to believe a lie than he is the truth. I could come on any campus of any university in this country today and tell a great big scandal on somebody and it'd be a lie. Everybody would...
Scandal spreads just like wild. You can tell the truth about somebody. Straight, undulated truth.
It doesn't spread.
If I said that a man in London
died today. He led his lifetime 1 million people to Jesus Christ. Wouldn't make any headlines. The prince of the power of the air has an empire.
He has cities over which he rules. He controls to some extent under the permissive will of God the elements about us. He got in a storm and blew down Job's house.
You don't know what you're up against.
You better learn, though.
You better know with whom you're dealing. Better get this clear. Don't stay out of trouble.
We are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. You better not be ignorant. He's a liar and the father of lies. And the dirtiest deal he's ever put over on the human race, he put over on Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Now, wait a minute. He sold them on the idea that what they wanted, they had a right to have. And what they were wanted was what God told them not to have. He sold them on the idea that they had a right to eat that fruit because it looked good and tastes good and is attractive. And there it is. He didn't tell them it was God's fruit. He didn't tell them this is God's garden and all these flowers are his flowers. And he painted every one of them. He didn't say all this fruit's God's fruit. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I haven't created anything. Said, you want it, don't you? Who's got a right to restrict you? Who's got a right to make any rules for you? Who's got a right to tell you what to eat or when to eat or how to eat? Who's got a right to regulate your table manners? Who's got a right to tell you what to do? Who's got a right to tell you not to shake some salt in a dish as a stunt? Who's got a right to restrict you? But God, shut up! You want it, don't you?
Yeah. Who's got a right to forbid you? The worst temptation, the strongest temptation, the most powerful temptation the devil ever brings to anybody
is a temptation to do what you want to do.
And naturally, you don't want to do right.
Man naturally wants to do wrong. Your inclinations are that way. It came with a fall. You don't want to be restricted. You can go on campuses that are Orthodox. Orthodox creed.
And the kids run all over to the campus making fun of Bob Jones University for his discipline.
Devilish, that's hellish. That has in it the breath of wrecked paradise and withered flowers. Mingled with our laughters, the tears of broken hearts in every generation.
That's what they tell. That's what you're up against.
You see something you like. Go on. Who said that, devil?
That's not Christian at all. What is Christianity? Self-denial?
Self-crucifixion?
cross bearing. You want to take it easy? But I can't.
Because Jesus didn't take it easy and He died for me. Plan of salvation cost His blood. And beads of bloody sweat. And a crown of thorns. Jesus Christ suffered all that to buy the thing back for God.
That's what He went through. Everybody come on now. It pays, say Jesus, pays every day, pays every...
What do you say, Jesus? If you want to go my way, you'll have to go a hard way. Have to get your cross.
It's never been easy in this world since the fall of man to do right. We run against the current of human nature. We run against the stream of culture.
Devil's corrupted everything. Art, music.
They've got this insane rock and roll. Modern, terrible.
I saw it on television. You know what it is? It's demonism. It says Satan run them crazy. It's like some things in religion today. Wild, weird, demoniac. I've seen it break out in revival. God doesn't run folks crazy. God talks about a sound mind. A thing that's crazy, God isn't in.
A crazy religious service is an insane, satanic religious service.
Let everything be done decently in order.
What about Pentecost? They thought they were drunk.
Yeah, but they were sober. They could explain exactly what they were doing. And everybody there heard in his own language. There wasn't any wildfire there. It was sensible, decent, sane.
Rock and roll, crazy, fiendish faces, girls. Insane. Emotion breaking loose. Leaving character bankrupt for satanic attacks. It's the devil's method of softening up before conquering.
Well, let go, let go. No, that's not what God said.
He said, hold in check, hold in check, hold in check, hold in check.
God told you in this Bible all you need to know about the Holy Ghost and the devil. Just get your Bible down and read it. Whenever they get where they get the Bible, read all about the Bible, and then God has to come down and send an angel to tell them something else. They're nuts. They're crazy. God isn't in it.
Devil's a liar and the father of lies.
Every lie in the world, he's made lies out of the human race. David said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. Somebody said he didn't see why he had to be in a hurry to say it. He could have been very deliberate and still told the truth. Everybody in this house has lied sometime, you love it. Most of us tell society lies all the time now. I guess I have too. Glad to see you. I've tried to work that down sometimes, where I can say I'm glad I'm able to see you. liar. A liar and the father of all lies took over the human race.
What did you say, Jesus, about yourself? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Everybody that wants out of the system can come out. And I'll make you a citizen of another world. Our citizenship's in heaven. What do you say, Jesus? I'm going away now, and I'll pray the Father you'll send you another with comforter. Even the Spirit of truth.
The Holy Ghost, the author of this Bible, is in this world, indwelling the body of every Christian. He restrains the world, but he doesn't run it. You know, it's tragic to me when I see all these wise men talking about how to keep us out of war.
Strange they never been able to do that.
Last time I heard William Jennings Bryan speak, that great good man, he spoke on the Prince of Peace and how to have universal peace in the world. Here they are now, back and round the Mediterranean, where Jesus walked dusty roads and died on a cross and had a tomb. Down there in that country now, at each other's throats. And it's a dangerous spot of the world. And they don't know what to do about it. It's all mixed up. But did you ever stop to think what it would be if there weren't any Christians in the world and the Holy Spirit wasn't here?
There are two personalities, the devil, the god of the world. He's moving the world along in his system. But he's going up all the time against an unseen personality who is not in this world to change the world, but in this world to give the world some light to Christian people so they can see how to get out of the darkness and get on there. You know what you are as a Christian in this world? You're a little light to say to people, this is the road. Come on, let's go this way. This is a light. The world has no light except Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, and the Christian who is the light of the world in his absence. And we go along and light up the little places and show the people the way. And we can't let our light shine if we're going to accept the devil's philosophy. Paul, going down the Damascus road, heard a voice and looked up and said, who's talking? Somebody said, I'm Jesus. You're dead, aren't you? No, I'm not dead. I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. You mean you crucified and dead and buried? And you're not dead, no. No, I'm not dead. You're Jesus. Yeah, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. You're lined up on the other side. You're so blind, Paul, with all your religion that you think if you kill people, you're doing the right thing. Poor, warped, dwarf mind. Got blood all over your hands. Blood of men and women and children. You're bloody with it, and yet you think you're doing God's service, you poor, blind, terrible creature. All right. What will you have me to do, Lord? That's the only question that you ought to ask. Don't ask the world, ask God. You can't listen to the world, because the God of the world is a liar and the author of all lies.
What wilt thou have me to do? I want to teach school next year, Lord. I've got my training at Bob Jones University. Made a good grade on my examination.
Now, Lord, I don't ask you where I can get most money, but where would you have me go? Maybe some great Christian school somewhere can't pay as much as some other place. That's what you want?
You're going to line up on one side or the other. If you ask the devil, you can't depend on him.
He's a destroyer. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's an enemy to the Christ that you say you trust as your Savior. Don't ask him. Ask God. You don't have to pull God off the throne. Holy Ghost is down here right now. You won't be converted like Paul. Jesus won't speak to you. The Bible wasn't finished then. The Holy Ghost is here now. He's a God of truth. He will guide you into all truth if you surrender. If you surrender. No Christian ever threw himself down at the feet of the Holy Ghost and said, "Now, Holy Spirit, here I am. I'm yours. I'm surrendered. You are the great omnipotent personality in this world. What do you have me to do?" You ask the devil or his followers, you get in trouble. And you ask some professed followers of Jesus Christ, you get in trouble. Somebody told a preacher in this country, told one of our girls some time ago, that if she'd go to some other school besides Bob Jones University and named a certain worldly school, said if you went to a place like that, you could get a much better salary than you're getting where you are. That's what the devil says. It isn't so. He's a liar, but that's what the devil says.
Devil says that. He's a liar, and folks that talk like that and put that above his spiritual
are followers of the devil. They are liars too. The devil can't give you anything without the permissive will of God. And I read in the Bible about some people being delivered up to the devil.
And a great many church people and a great many preachers today are preaching his philosophy. And when they go to churches because they can get better salaries,
and that's the basis of a call. That's the devil. I've been in evangelistic work for many years. If I accept an invitation to one town because I get more money than I get to another town, I'd be working on the direction of the devil. Lord,
what wilt thou have me to do? Two doors are open. I get a big check yonder. Won't get much. Lord, what will thou have me to do?
You like a certain girl, don't you? And she likes you, you think. Pretty eyes, nice face. Pretty teeth. And she's sweet and good. And
Lord, what will thou have me to do?
I'm thinking about quitting school, Lord. It's pretty strict, you know. Pretty tight, you know. I can have much easier time and trying to sell myself, you know, on going near a home somewhere.
Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?
You either going to do the will of God or the will of the devil. You can't be between the two. It'll be one way or the other. That's either God Almighty is going to be the boss of your life or the devil the boss of your life. Seven. There are just two people you deal with. Two people and their followers. That's all. Lord,
What wilt thou have me to do? Let's bow our heads. Lord God, when we bow our heads and turn the eyes of our souls up into thine eyes, we can't be liars. We got to be honest. What wilt thou have me to do? Help us to ask that and mean it.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Today you heard a message by the late founder of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., originally preached April 20, 1956. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.